Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from Cornerstone Community Church in Galax, Virginia. In this life, we constantly face temptation. So how can we set up some safeguards and boundaries in our life to protect us from the temptations? Things like envy and greed and lust and anger. The truth is, when we are flirting with temptation, we are flirting with disaster. And so we are so thankful you've joined us this morning for our service. You can also join us in person in downtown Galax at 227 South Main Street. We have services each Sunday at 9:15 and 11 a.m. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. Welcome to those watching online as well. It's always neat to know that there's people being able to tune in live. And wherever you're at, if you just happen to stumble along, online and find us, we're glad you're here joining us today. We get to continue this series called Flirting with Disaster this week. Now, Chris opened up the series last week and thought he did a great job sharing last week about the importance of having boundaries in our life. And if you look around, what you see is that Satan has this way of enticing us. He knows how to tempt us. And we've got to be able to stand strong against temptation. And so this is important. This is important for any church, that we are able to really stand up and not give in to the temptation around us. Every week on the news, you see entertainers, you see pastors, you see celebrities, you see athletes, just even ordinary people. You see them fail. We see them mess up their lives. We see them hurt other people. We see them lose their families, all because they made a choice, right, to listen to Satan instead of following God. And so that's why a series like this is so important, that we learn the effects of sin, right? And we learn how to stand strong against sin. We learn how to what it means to really follow Jesus. Now, I would say every single person in this room has been affected in one way or another by anger. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today, is how to overcome anger. Now, Chris talked last week about how no one is exempt from temptation, right? If you think that, hey, that's not temptation, that's not something that you know, then you've got a problem with pride, right? Because temptation is something that every single one of us face. Now, we face different issues in our life that tempt us, but every single one of us faces that. And it's not, we think like, okay, once you become a Christian, all that's going to go away. And I think what we don't anticipate is that when we become a Christian, when we get saved, when we're born again, what happens is Satan paints a bigger target on our back, right? He wants, we're more of a target than ever, because he wants to bring us down, because he knows the effect it will have on the people around us. Last week, Chris shared about the importance of boundaries in our life, and these boundaries, they're important, right? Because if we're tiptoeing on the edge, it's not going to be long before something comes along and pushes you over that edge. So we need some healthy boundaries. But here's what I also know, that boundaries in and of themselves will not fix our sin problem, right? We can set all sorts of boundaries in our life, and we can still look great on the outside, but our heart can be a mess. And so the reality is, boundaries are one step, but we need to go deeper. And that's what I love about sermon series. We get to spend week in and week out kind of digging in and going a little deeper. The Pharisees, they were great at boundaries, but they weren't really good at doing what God really wanted them to do. They kind of lost their joy. They lost their purpose, because they were so intent on this list of rules that they had to follow. In fact, in Matthew 23, this is what Jesus told the Pharisees. He said, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees. You're hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." So what Jesus said, you can look great on the outside, and yet your heart can be a mess. You can do all the right things behavior-wise, but your attitudes can be for the wrong reason. And so if we're talking about this, flirting with disaster, we've got to go inward, right? We've got to dig deep. We've got to talk about the things that you can pretend, you can cover up, you can act like everything's all right, but there's stuff going on in your heart that we need to discuss. Our reason for this series, it's not to take away the fun in your life. It's to get you to understand the pain of sin and the joy of Jesus. There's pain in sin. And I know the world paints it like, man, that sin is fun. And it may be fun for a season, but it has consequences. There's a song when we were growing up back years ago by Billy Joel. It's called Only the Good Die Young. There's a line in that song. It says, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. Okay, that's the picture this world has of Christianity, right? Hey, sin, partying, that's fun. Christianity, that's boring. That's no fun. That's sad. That's all just a bunch of people sad and upset. No. What we've got to realize is that when we follow Jesus, that's where we find true joy. That's where we find purpose. That's where we find the meaning in life. That's where everything kind of comes together when we become what God created us to be. And so sin, it has pain, it has consequences. In Galatians, this is how Paul said it. He said, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. This is a path that you're on. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul's laying it out pretty clear here, right? He's laying it out. Sin has consequences, and sin takes you down a path that you don't want to go. I love what John Piper says about sin. He said this. He said, what is sin? He said, it is the glory of God not honored, the holiness of God not reverenced, the greatness of God not admired, the power of God not praised, the truth of God not sought, the wisdom of God not esteemed, the beauty of God not treasured, the goodness of God not savored, the faithfulness of God not trusted, the commandments of God not obeyed, the justice of God not respected, the wrath of God not feared, the grace of God not cherished, the presence of God not prized, and the person of God not loved. That is sin. And that kind of paints a broad picture here of what sin really is. Sin is any time, right, where we disobey God. It's any time where we put something else on the throne of our life in the rightful place that only God deserves. That's sin. And so really throughout this series, here's what we're wanting to do. We're wanting you to help, right? How do you overcome sin in your life? Because it's a temptation. It's a struggle. The world's out there telling you, hey, it's going to be fun. You just give in. It doesn't matter. Just do what everyone else is doing. Paul said in Colossians, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of the world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. It's really kind of the whole purpose of this series. What does it mean to get rid of all that stuff and get to know God? What does it mean to get rid of that sin and quit flirting with disaster and really follow after our Creator and become like Him? And that's our goal. As you look throughout history, you see kind of a fascination with sin in some ways. And in the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church, they focused on what they called the seven deadly sins. And what that was, according to their theology, they were seven vices that, left unchecked, would result in a host of other sins and kill a person's soul. We should know now, with as we look at Scripture, that all sin is sin in God's eyes. Romans 3 is very clear about that, that it doesn't matter what sin you've committed. If you've broken any sin, you've broken God's law. And because of that, there are consequences to that. We have all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. There's consequences to our sin. But here's what I do want you to know, that there is sin that has greater consequence in our life. There is sin that has greater earthly consequences that we face. And so when you start thinking about these seven deadly sins, and that they were pride, we know what that is. It's kind of that inflated view of yourself, the envy that you deserve more, the gluttony, this desire, excessive desire for more and more, lust, which is just this selfish focus on sex or desire to have pleasure, anger, and this excessive desire to have revenge. There's greed, this wanting more and more, never being satisfied. There's sloth, which is not a word we use a lot these days, but I think that's a word I would like to see have a comeback. You ever read a word like that and you're like, man, we need to use that more, slothfulness. But, it just laziness is really just a lack of effort. And so those are the sins that we're kind of focused on. And this morning, I want to kind of zero in on this anger. And so when we think about anger, we think about this desire to exact revenge, but it's more than that. Anger is a response. It's a response to something in our life, a situation, an event that causes an irritation, it causes frustration, it causes pain, it causes displeasure, and our anger is a response against that. This morning, here's what I want to do. I want to focus in on the source of our anger. If we want to overcome it, we've got to understand the source of our anger. Anger is this emotion that arises whenever we encounter something that we perceive to be wrong. Someone treated us wrongly. Something was done that upset us. There's injustice. There's whatever it is. Someone said something that hurt our feelings. Something was wrong and we perceive it to be wrong, and now we're upset about it. And so this morning, we're talking about something that affects every single one of us. And here's what I know, that anger is probably the single emotion that does the most damage to relationships. When you look at anger, what you see is you see hurt relationships. You see people that are angry. And so what can we do about it? These emotions, they do incredible damage to our walk with God, to our witness to others. Don't believe me that anger is a problem. Go to a basketball game or a football game and sit in the stands and watch people. Right? And I say that like it's a struggle for me during sports season. I mean, you get into it and you're competitive and you're like, you want to yell something. You didn't see that? You got to call that. You see people get really, and some people it's kind of funny, but some people it's anger. I mean, it's ugly, right? And you sit there and you think about the effects that has on the people around you. And let me, maybe it's not sports for you. Maybe it's something else. But what is it that makes you angry? What is it that happens when something happens in your life that you just feel that you feel your face kind of getting flushed? You feel like you're getting upset? Is it when someone says something to you? Is it when somebody says something about one of your kids? What is it that just sets you off? Let's start thinking about that this morning. Here's what I know. I don't like where my mind and oftentimes my words end up when I'm angry. All right, that's what I don't like. I don't like seeing where anger takes us. Ambrose Bierce said this. He said, "Speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret." That's good. You make a great speech now, but you're not going to enjoy it. You're going to reap the consequences later. So this week, here's what I did. I read a couple of books on dealing with anger. Now, obviously, I went to Scripture and spent a lot of time there, but I read a book by Gary Chapman called Anger, Taming a Powerful Emotion. He's the same guy that wrote Five Love Languages, a really good book on anger, how to tame this powerful emotion. Then I read one by Chip Ingram, and it was Overcoming Emotions That Destroy, Practical Help for Those Angry Feelings That Ruin Relationships. And the neat thing about that book is there's also a Right Now video Bible study series that you can watch for free. If you don't know what Right Now Media is, it's kind of this online video Bible study that we have here at Cornerstone. It's kind of like Netflix for Bible studies. And if you don't have that, you can sign up online on our website or over at the information desk and get access to it. But it's really neat. And so there's online Bible study series. So that's a kind of a resource for you if you want to go a little deeper this week. But in Chip Ingram's book, this is what he talked about. He kind of talked about there's a distinction in how we express anger a little bit. And so there's three different ways we express anger. And so my question for you this morning, are you a spewer, a stuffer, or a leaker? Some of these are self-explanatory. Some of these you may not have heard of before, but we're kind of going to dig deep a little bit this morning. I make you think a little bit. And kind of get at the root of what's making you angry. Spewers, you know what that is, right? Just someone that, they just have to forcefully express their anger. They just explode. They spew. They just vomit anger on everyone around them. I mean, that's kind of what it's like. It just comes out and it's messy. If they can just learn how to control their anger and not use it to intimidate people, it would make a huge difference. It's like a tea kettle, right? The water's, the water's always just at that boiling point. It's getting, you're waiting for it to pop off and start making a lot of noise. That's a spewer. It's just that type of person. But then there's a stuffer. Those type of people, they bottle their anger up inside. They don't want it to show because they believe anger is bad. They just keep a tight lid on it. They're always kind of just stuffing it in, and they can eventually explode, but there's always kind of something under the surface that they're upset about, and you don't know what it is because they've stuffed that anger down. But then the third type of expressive anger here is a leaker. And I hadn't heard this term before until I read the book this week, and it was interesting. This one is a little harder to recognize because you know what it's like to spew anger. You know what it's like to kind of suppress anger. But there is a third type, and this is kind of the passive-aggressive type. And when I read this, it made so much sense. These are the people who kind of leak their anger out. So they don't explode, but they're constantly kind of leaking out these little snide comments to hurt people. Right? They're always saying little things that are kind of passive aggressive, and oftentimes it's not even to the person who did it. They're gossiping to someone else, and they're just kind of leaking it out, and they're getting their revenge by what they say, by what they do, but they're leaking it out. They're not blowing up, but they're making sure that they're doing a lot of damage in the process. They'll pout. They're upset. They're inwardly bitter and resentful and insecure. When you think about this, let me just ask you, which one of those three things do you see yourself? Are you a spewer? Are you a stuffer? Or are you a leaker? Because I think all of these are unhealthy ways of dealing with our anger. But I think for most people, you'll see yourself in at least one of these, if not more than one of these ways. And so here's how you know when you have a problem with anger. You know you have a problem with anger when you're using it in the wrong way, right? And what I mean by that, there's a time, right? Anger, I want you to hear something, because I don't know if you've heard this before or you realize this, that anger is not a sin. Jesus was angry, right? It's what we do in response to our anger. There are things that we need to be have a holy and a righteous anger about. When we see injustice, there should be something in us that should make us angry to do something about it. Right? That's the whole reason that Mia is doing a water walk today, is when you look around the world and you see people who are struggling and don't have the basic necessities that they need for survival, and we have more than we need, there's something in us that should make us angry, that we should do something about this. So anger can be used in a good way, but when it's used in the wrong way, it's used as a weapon. We know we have a problem with anger when it's used frequently. We know we have a problem with anger when it lasts a long time. We know we have a problem with anger when it results in inappropriate behavior. And so for all of us, we've got to be careful and really think about what we do in response to the anger that we feel. And let me just ask you, have you ever done something foolish because of your temper? Ecclesiastes says this. It says, control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. That's pretty clear, right? I mean, when we read that, I mean, that's what anger does. It makes you look like a fool. Proverbs 14, verse 17, it says, short-tempered people, they do foolish things. Again, we see what happens. It makes us do things that we regret. Proverbs 14, 29. People with understanding control their anger, for a hot temper shows great foolishness. Billy Graham once said that hot heads and cold hearts never solved anything. We've got to be careful, right? Because again, when I look at anger, what I see is people really losing their Christian witness, their testimony, because of it. They become known not as a wise person, not as someone who can be trusted, but they become known as a fool because they can't control their temper, because they lack that self-discipline. You know, it's funny, we scold children for throwing temper tantrums, but how many times do adults do the same and it's accepted as normal behavior? And again, I hate going back to sports as an example, but you look at, like, on the sideline of a football game or on the bench of basketball, I mean, or baseball too, right? When it's almost comical when you see a coach come out in the field on baseball and get in the umpire's face, and they're arguing back and forth and kicking dirt on each other and throwing their hat down. And we almost laugh at that because that's normal. That's expected. Oh, he's trying to get his team fired up. If a kid did that, can I just be honest? You'd beat their butt, all right? I mean, you see that happen in kids, and you're like, that's unacceptable, but yet adults do it, and we like lift it up as, oh, they're just passionate. They're just competitive. You know, here's what I want you to understand, right? We've got to understand that when your anger results in foolish behavior, it's not okay. You have a problem. It's not acceptable. It's not good. It's not healthy. It's not advancing the kingdom of God. It's not helping people see Jesus in you. And so we have to do something about it. So if we want to overcome anger, we've got to understand it a little bit better. If you're following along in your notes, here's what we need to understand, that anger is a secondary emotion. Have you ever blown up about something and then later realized that what you got mad about was not the real issue, right? Here's the funny thing about anger. The anger is the outside emotion that we exhibit to protect the more sensitive areas of our heart. Right? It's a secondary response that hides something deeper. So what it means, there's something going on that we're feeling, and it may be fear, it may be frustration, it may be insecurity. It's one of those things that's going on down deep inside, and our anger kind of covers it up. Our anger gives us some semblance of control. And so we use it because we don't want to deal with the real problem. And so anger isn't the first feeling to come, although it's generally the first one that shows up outwardly. And so whenever it surfaces, there's another emotion at play underneath it. I think this is huge to understand this. I think this is really important. Try to remember the last time you got angry and ask yourself this question: why did I get angry? What was it that made me angry? Chances are that something is deeper than just, hey, I was just angry. There was some injustice done. Someone didn't treat me right. Something went wrong that I didn't expect. Your anger may have been towards a person or a situation, may have been against God, but in every instance, you feel like someone didn't treat you right or something wasn't done the way it was supposed to be done. Now, often what happens is our perception of that is wrong, right? We think someone didn't treat us right, and we're maybe a little oversensitive, or our perception was wrong, or we assumed something we shouldn't have. So our what we feel is not always appropriate. But the reality is that what anger is doing, it's showing that something else is going on inside of us. Chip Ingram in his book said this. He said, when people abandon us, when they let us down, when someone doesn't come through, when we feel rejected, left out, lonely, sad, or sorrowful, we generally cover it up with anger. Because these emotions are so strong, they're so painful and so confusing, anger serves as a more satisfying substitute. So what did Cain do? Did he face feeling sad, rejected, and jealous? No, instead, he acted on his anger and he killed his brother Abel. Anger artificially helps us feel in control when we're feeling out of control, and it falsely helps us feel powerful when we feel powerless. That's important, right? And I'm challenging you this morning a little bit to do something that makes most people, especially guys, uncomfortable. It's kind of to dig deep, to go under the surface here a little bit. And what is it that makes you angry? I would say it this way. Anger is not the problem. It's the warning light that flashes when there's a problem. And so just like in your car, when the warning light comes up, you have to do some research. You have to do some digging to figure out why that warning light, why that check engine light comes on. And when there's anger that comes up, we've got to do some digging. We've got to do some checking to figure out what the real problem is. I saw an interesting news article not too long ago. It's down in it's Alabama. And it was at a all-you-can-eat seafood restaurant. And two guys got arrested because they got into a fight over crab legs. And so what happened, they were both in line waiting. I don't know exactly what happened, but the next thing you know, they're sword fighting with the tongs to get the, and they're like hitting each other and beating it with crab legs. Now, I like crab legs, and like somebody jumped in front of me, and I guess that's what happened, you know, somebody jumped in front or cut line, and next thing you know, they arrested one for disorderly conduct and one for assault, third degree assault for over crab legs. That's crazy. That's crazy, right? I mean, why would people do that? Here's what, you know, from a Christian worldview, here's what I want you to understand. It wasn't about crab legs. All right, there's a deeper emotion at play. If you're sword fighting with tongs over crab legs, there's something more going on. I don't know if one of them had a bad day. I don't know if one of them said something. I don't know if one of them took more than their fair share and the other one didn't get any. I don't know what happened, but I guarantee that there was something, a deeper emotion at play, because anger is that secondary emotion. And here's what I want you to know. We can laugh about that, but if we're not careful, we can respond in the same way. It may not be over crab legs, maybe getting cut off in traffic, right? It may be you're on the phone with the electric company or the phone company or the cable company or whatever, and you're trying to get something done, and you've been disconnected five times and transferred or trying to deal with insurance or something like that. It may be, it may even be at work with a coworker when you ask them to do something for the 15th time and they didn't do it yet again. But what happens is something kind of pops up. Anger pops up because there's something else going on. And what we've got to do, if we want to overcome anger, we've got to get better at identifying what's going on. And so I'll kind of help you here. There's three main triggers that are going on under the surface. And these three triggers for anger, they're hurt, they're frustration, and they're insecurity. Hurt, frustration, and insecurity. These are the kind of the three main things under the surface that happen that can get us angry. And so let's kind of look at that. Anger may indicate that we have unmet needs and we're feeling hurt. And so when we feel hurt, we get angry. We can express it externally and get mad at people. We can turn it inwardly and just have low self-esteem and get depressed. But hurt, it's a response to just feeling hurt. Someone said something, someone did something that hurt you. The next one is frustration. And these usually are because of kind of unmet expectations. You had an expectation and someone didn't do it. You set a rule for your child and they broke that rule. And so now you're frustrated. Someone promised you that they would be there or do something and they didn't do it. Now you're frustrated. So now you're angry. And our expectations set us up for disappointment. And so when we feel frustrated, we feel annoyed, we feel trapped, we feel scared or embarrassed or resentful. And so, again, it's kind of digging a little deeper. And then there's insecurity. And so when we feel threatened, what happens is our insecurity rises up. And so when someone, what's really going on when someone cuts you off or puts you down or ignores you or passes over you for a promotion, we feel like our self-esteem is under attack. We feel insecure. We feel like people don't like us or people don't support us. And so that insecurity rises up and makes us angry. And when we feel insecure, we feel ashamed, we feel nervous, we feel inadequate, humiliated, prideful. And when we are insecure on the inside, we let anger show on the outside. Now, again, These are the emotions. This is what's going on under the surface that we've got to be aware of. And so understanding the origin of anger is essential to understanding the purpose of anger. And understanding the purpose of anger is essential to learning how to process it in a constructive way. There can be a good side to anger when we see injustice and we do something about it. Gary Chapman said this in his book. He said, anger is not evil. Anger is not sinful. Anger is not a part of our fallen nature. Anger is not Satan at work in our lives. Quite the contrary. Anger is evidence that we are made in God's image and demonstrates that we still have some concern for justice and righteousness in spite of our fallen estate. The capacity for anger is strong evidence that we are more than mere animals. It reveals our concern for rightness and justice and fairness. The experience of anger is evidence of our nobility, not our depravity. And that's when we use it in a proper way. The problem is when we use it in an unhealthy way. And so how do we kind of overcome it? I want to give you four things here this morning, how to overcome anger. The first is you've got to acknowledge that you're angry. First, you just got to acknowledge it. We begin by acknowledging it, accepting it, admitting it. We don't stuff it. We don't pretend it's not there. We don't deny it. We just come to the grips with it that we're really angry. And then what do we do next? The next thing is B, we backtrack. This is ABCD. We We backtrack to the primary emotion. This is where most of us stop. Okay, I'm angry. I don't know why I'm angry, right? For me, I'll give you an example from last night, okay? We were coming back, and Luke had a concert, and it was late, and we were wanting to eat at Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A was closed by the time we got there, so we couldn't eat at Chick-fil-A. So here we are after 10 o'clock last night trying to find supper last night. I was hungry. I didn't get to eat where I wanted to, all right? So I was not the most nice person to be around. If my kids were here, they would nod their head. All right. So what was my primary emotion? It was kind of an unmet expectation. I wanted to go somewhere. It was closed. I had to eat somewhere else. I was hungry. I was tired. You have to backtrack and figure out what's going on kind of under the surface there. And so we find out what emotion preceded our anger. This is, again, I think this is hard to do. We don't like getting our hands dirty. You know, if you've got weeds growing in the garden, you can just cut them off, and guess what's going to happen? They're just going to come right back up. You got to get down in the dirt and pull up the roots if you want to really do. And that's what this step does. It kind of gets down to the root of your anger and does something about it. The next one, C, is consider the cause. When we consider the cause, we're looking at why we feel the way we do. Did someone insult us? Did someone forget something? Did someone not meet an expectation that we had for them? And so you ask yourself, who or what caused this to occur? What frustrated me? Who hurt or wounded me? What plans fell through? What actually happened? What are your expectations? What are your assumptions? And so you do that hard work. And then D is you determine how to deal with it. And what I mean, what you're doing now is you're just slowing down the process. You're processing what's going on. You're processing what's going on. And again, if you're a spewer that we talked about earlier, this is tough because when you get angry, you just want to spew. You don't want to stop and slow down and think about what's going on. If you're a stuffer, you just want to pout. You don't want to think about what's going on. If you're a leaker, you don't want to slow down and think about what's going on. You just want to say something snide or smart aleck and get back and get your jab in real quick, right? So this is kind of what we do is when we determine how to deal with it, we're asking ourselves, how do I respond? What should I do? How do I make things right? If what you're angry over is something justified, then what are you going to do about it? If there's injustice, then how are you going to stand up? How are you going to handle things appropriately? And so you ask yourself, who am I mad at? What should I do about it? Do I reach out? Do I call? Do I meet someone? Do I apologize? Do I stand up for what's right? You start doing this. And I really believe if we can slow ourselves down and do this and kind of walk through this process, you're going to see a huge impact that you can have in the lives of other people in a positive way. Here's a response as we kind of wrap things up this morning. We got to quit making excuses. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm just Irish, or I'm just redheaded, or I'm just whatever. That's just the way I am. I'm just an angry person. I told Jennifer I wanted to show the little movie clip that from Elf, that where he's an angry little elf, right? Oh, he's just an angry little elf. We make excuses and just say that's who we are. There's nothing I can do about it. That is a lie straight from Satan when we say that. When we label ourselves by sin, right? By how we treat others unfairly, that's not who we are. That's not who God created us to be. We are made in the image of God. And so the first thing we got to do, we got to quit making excuses. According to the Bible, we are new creations. That's what it tells us in 2 Corinthians. It doesn't mean God sanded down the old to make the new. He doesn't mean he reshaped the old to make the new. He means we are new. We've got a new heart now. And so we've got this divine nature now that has divine power. It's what 2 Peter tells us. And so we're not slaves to our sin anymore. We don't have to be slaves to these sinful desires. James says it this way. He says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So get rid of all the filth, all the evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word that God has planted in your hearts, right? For it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. And so what I'm going to challenge you to do is let's quit attacking people and let's start attacking the problems in our life. Let's quit making excuses. Let's start being people who will pray, who will reflect and kind of walk through this process in our mind and let's deal with the emotions that we are facing in a healthy, constructive way. Let's share the love of Christ with the world around us instead of spewing anger on everyone around us. Let's be known as Christians who love God and love others instead of being angry little elves in the world around us. We need to look more like Jesus and less like the world. Do you understand why this is so important? Ephesians 4 says this. It says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For your anger, it gives a foothold to the devil. And that's what we do when we respond in an unhealthy way. We're just kind of cracking that door open and inviting Satan in just to do whatever he pleases with our life. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do this morning. We're going to end with our time of response. And I want you to pray that you can control your anger instead of being controlled by it. I want you to pray that you have wisdom to hold it back and to consider the cause and determine how to deal with it. I want you to pray that you would only be angered by the things that anger God. I pray that you get rid of that sinful anger that leads to bitterness. Pray that you're able to dig deeper and do something about it. We have our response time here at Cornerstone. It's our time we can kind of take a moment to reflect on what we've just learned and what we've just heard and what God has spoken into our lives this morning. And so we typically have our cross up where you can go to the cross and write out your prayer requests and drop them in the box there and we'll pray for you. We have communion and that's a serious way that for believers, we can come together and we can share the Lord's Supper together and you can take the bread and the juice and remember what Christ did for you. And so that's a way that we can take time just to reflect on that. And Jesus said, as often as you get together, do this in remembrance of me. You can take time and fill out your worship, your communication card and let us know how we can help. You can come and talk and pray with us. But I want to give you one additional way you can respond this morning. We have a table set up over there, and we have a shredder over there. And I think nothing would sound better than worship than to hear the sound of past hurts and anger and things being shredded while we sing. So if you have something you need to let go of this morning, just write it out, slip the piece of paper, and there's paper and pens over there, just slip it in the shredder and just watch it go. And that's what it's like when we turn things over to God, when we submit, when we surrender, when we let God handle it instead of trying to handle it on our own. And so this morning, that's what I want to invite you to do. Praise team's going to come back up and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. I pray that you will help us, one, admit that we have problems with anger sometimes, that we don't always deal with it in a healthy way. And so this morning, I pray that for each and every one of us, that we could be honest enough with ourselves to look inward, that we could really look at what the real causes of our anger is. If our anger is a secondary emotion, then what's the real reason that we're angry? Is it that hurt or frustration or insecurity?
Lord, I pray that you can help us deal with it so that we can have a more powerful witness to this community around us. If we're known as someone who is always angry, who is always complaining, who is always unhappy, that doesn't reflect Jesus. Lord, I pray that as a church, we would be known more for what we love. That you would, our lives would reflect Jesus. That we would deal with the sin in our life, that we would get rid of it, that we would deal with this anger and not let it take hold in our life. And so this morning, as we close, may this be a time of letting go of those things that are in our past that we're still allowing to make us bitter and still have taken root in our life. Lord, I just pray that this morning would be a time of deliverance, a time of freedom, a time of healing. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. We praise Jesus for what he's done in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. So as always, during these last songs, if you want to talk, you want to pray, I'll be in the back. I'd love to meet with you. Again, at any time, anybody can get up and receive communion, go to the cross, go to the shredder. Let's take advantage of the opportunities we have this morning. Let's stand as we close.